Thank you, Mr. Judson. Good to see you all here. I'm glad you're here. God's glad you're here. I brought a few things with me today. Just bear with me here, a few things. Hello. Let me see if I can find it. Let's see. Oh, first, I brought my telephone. You probably all have a telephone. Now, I'm not going to call God, but someone may call me, you know. You know, the world's just full of so many things for us to look at and watch all the time. Things going on. Satan just stirs things up all the time. You know, my granddaughters text me a message. I don't know how to text. You know, I had trouble learning smoke screens when I was younger. And smoke signals. But, so, she run me through this and I text her back. That worked pretty good. I don't remember how to do it. But she said, I got my bill from Verizon. Only cost me $1. $1 to text one time. Okay. So we got our phones. We got all kinds of things, you know. We have our TVs. Man, you got to have a TV button. You know, just can't live without it, all this stuff. Years ago, we used to throw them out of our house. Now you can't live without it. Now, some people got, if you got Dish or, I don't even know the names of all of them, but you can get 2, 3, maybe more channels, I don't know. And if you're really good, you can probably get that, what do they call that? That nature show? No, it's not the nature show. But anyway, you can learn all about creation. I don't believe anything they say, but you can get it. You know, maybe the biggest thing. Maybe the biggest thing here. Yes. I brought my computer. Or a computer. What else I got in here? Oh, I got all kinds of things in here. I just distract us. Satan's got so many things going on, you know. And about the time we do something, then we got to take pictures. Yeah, we don't need that right now. But this computer, I can't even open it. That's how I get along with computers. Oh, this is the greatest tool maybe a man ever come up with. You know, they used to gossip over the back fence. Used to lean over the fence, maybe drink a cup of coffee. But this is the greatest gossip machine I've ever seen. You know, my aunt was in Florida. Aunt Susie, she texted me on the phone, on my computer. She said she's having alligator soup for lunch. Who cares if she's having alligator soup for lunch? I don't know. We're so busy. Satan's just got us so, so busy. Oh, movies. Movies. I was talking to a man the other day. He says, I got such a deal. And I'm not selling movies or anything about movies, but he had one of these outfits that just sent you stuff, and he says, oh, it's really cheap. I can get all the movies I want for $10. Isn't that great? He hadn't worked for 2 years, but $10 was great for all these movies. And music. You can bring music down anywhere. Satan's just broadcasting. Music, all the time. Oh, and I might need my binoculars. I never know what I'm going to find out there. You got to look around. You got to be safe. What's Satan doing to us, huh? I don't know. You know, sometimes, though, I brought a Bible. But sometimes, we really make things so difficult in our lives. So very difficult. You know, it really gets to be pretty hectic with all the gadgets, all the things. Sports. Oh, we got college football on Saturday. We got Sunday professional football. We got Sunday night. You got cable, you got Monday night, they got Thursday night, you got football, and then you got basketball. That's fine. All of that is great. All of it's great. The computer's great. Don't throw none of them away. TV's great. But with caution, with limited a little bit, because life gets to be pretty hectic, like I said. Have you ever really, really wanted to accomplish something in your life, but you couldn't keep your eye on it? Can you really keep your eye on what you want to do? Where you want to go? How you want to get there? Or do you get distracted from what you're doing? Do you have the vision to complete what you started? Or do you really find it hard to focus on where you want to go and what you want to do? God says, of all the things in this world that bombards us with things and things to do, our number one priority should be, well, let's read it. Let's read Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Better if you put it up right side up here. Matthew 6. And if you would, you know, it'd be nice to open your Bibles. You know, we get in the habit of not opening it or just looking at a screen or listening to something or whatever. And why don't we get in the Bible? Why don't we get back to basics and look in here? I'm going to read a lot of scriptures that you've read, that you've heard, that you've heard, that you've heard, and you've read. But we need to read them again. We need to get it in our minds, what we're supposed to do. But let's read Matthew 6. And in verse, I believe it's 34 here. It'd be better if I get Matthew instead of Mark, wouldn't it? Matthew 6 and 33. I didn't lose that page. Okay, it says here. Are you there yet? Number one priority, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. It goes on, therefore, it says, therefore, do not worry. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. It's sufficient for the day is its own troubles. It says, added to you, to all. Put your name in there. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. What will we find in the kingdom? What will we find in the kingdom when we get there? Let's go to Romans. Romans, if you will. I haven't used this so long, I don't know where it's at. No, it's right coming up here. Oh, Romans. Romans 14. Are you there yet? It's nice to use the Bible again. What will you find when you get there? It says, for the kingdom of God is not prime rib and wine. Oh, it says food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And 18, for he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify, build up, if you will, one another. Goes on and says, do not destroy the work of God. Hmm. What's Ephesians say? What's God's telling us? Let's look at Ephesians. You there yet? Or did you bring your Bible? Ephesians, starting 6. And like I said, you've read these. You've heard them. Let's read them again. In verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For on the whole, put on all the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks and the trials of Satan. Satan the devil. And then 12, he goes on. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Satan's authorities, Satan and his demons. 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, To stand and look him in the eye. Just stand and be safe. Be there. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness. And that's what you'll find in the kingdom. Goes on in 16. It talks about the fiery darts. The fiery darts that Satan throws at you. He confuses you, and he has you running all around doing all kinds of things. We have to find time. The fiery darts it talks about. And in 17, it says, take the helmet of salvation and a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful. Watchful of what's going on. Watchful of yourself. Be watchful of myself and what I'm doing. Are we watchful? Are you ready for Christ to return? Are you ready for him to come? Walking through the door. Have you learned it all? I haven't. There is so much. Have you learned it all? We need to always be ready for Christ's return. And you know, God wants us to change. Let's read Romans 12. Let's go to Romans 12. Let's hear God's word. Romans 12 and verse 1, God says, I beseech you, I plead to you, therefore, brethren, be merciful of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that's good and acceptable and perfect bang with God, to God. So here we are. What does God want? Let's read his words. Let's go to Acts. Let's go to Acts 3. And verse 19. He says, repent. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repent. Convert. Change. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if I'll ever change. But if I try, will I be different, say, or you be different a year from now? In my mind, in our hearts, doing what's right. Will I be more righteous? Will you? We really need to produce more. How? How do we do that? It's been a long road for some of us. We're tired. We're weary. How? When's the last time you really, really talked to God? And be close to God. Be righteous. Let's look at Psalms 11. Psalms 11. I've got Mike's eyes here. Psalms 11 and verse 7. It says, the Lord is righteous, and he loves righteousness, and he beholds the upright. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12 says, that you would have a walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We need to talk to God. We need to walk with God. That's how. And let's look at Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4 and 23. It says, keep your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it springs the issue itself of life. Keep your heart there. Keep your heart close to God. Talk to God. Walk with God. Talk with him. We need to keep our heart in what we're doing. How do we do this? Let's go to Matthew 5. Back in Matthew 5. In and 6. I'm going to read most of this. Oh, I brought this along. Oh. It says, I don't know how to work it. It says I'm wasting time. Enough of that. We're here. I don't know how much time I got. But anyway, Matthew. Five and verse 6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, as Mr. Miller was talking, and forgiveness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We need to follow God's way. We need to really, really have a passion for it. By its way, it's like somebody that plays sports. You really want it, and you're really going after it. You can't be mediocre about it. You have to really want it. Do we really want it? We have to focus. We have to have a vision. We have to keep our eyes on the things where you really want, what you really want, and where you really, really want to go. Do you really want to go to the kingdom? You have to hold fast. Like, let's go to Job. Job. Job 27:6. Job says, out of all that he went through, he says, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let go. Will you hang on? Will you hang on to God's word? You know, we have help, though. In Psalms, let's turn to Psalms 55. Psalms 55, we have help. Psalms 55 and verse 22. It says here that we have help to put our burdens on God. It says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. He'll help us not to be moved. We need to hold on and be strong. Like in Job here. Let's go back to Job 17:9. Yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. And we need to stand up. Stand up for righteousness and become stronger and stronger. Even Noah, back in Genesis 7:1. That's almost in the beginning. No, there was a few years there. 7:1. Reads different in Genesis and Exodus. It is way back here in the beginning. 7 and verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, come, come into the ark. As he would say, come into the kingdom. Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before men in this generation. And in 6:9, while we're right here, I believe it is, Noah was a just man, perfect. He walked with God, it says. He was blameless. He was complete. Are you walking with God? Have you ever been tested? Have you ever went through a trial? I think we all are right now. We're having a big trial in our lives, our spiritual lives, and life in general with everything that's going on. And we're close to God. So we're going to be tempted even more. But we need to stay close to God because he's going to help. You know, the devil, Satan, wants you. He wants each and every one of us. You know, he started with Jesus, actually before, in the garden of Eden. Wherever it was, in the garden. But he started with Eve and Adam. And then throughout all that time, the world was a mess. And then Noah came along, and things were going on, and Satan was still trying to tempt him. You remember when he tempted Jesus? Let's look at that once. I know you've read it, but let's read it again. Now I'm going to start with Jesus, when Jesus came. Let's go to Luke 4. Luke. And verse 1, I believe. We read a lot of this here. We need to read it. It says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That's another time, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. But being tempted there for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry, you suppose? And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written right here in this book, it's in your lap if you have one, that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And it says in a moment of time. I don't know what a moment of time is, but he showed him the whole world. Probably just like that. Spiritual. And the devil said to him, all these kingdoms I will give you, and the glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to you or to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me and will be before me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a high pinnacle of the temple itself and said to him, you are if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil was ended, it ended every temptation, it says here. He departed from him. But it goes on here, it says, until an opportune time again. What if someone took you out to South Mountain? And if you don't know where South Mountain is, or you're not familiar, one of the mountains or high places around here. And they said, look at all that property. Don't even have to raise cotton anymore. But look at all of that out there. It's all yours. Just say so. Just say the word and it's yours. No nails. No nails for this. No stake. No suffering. It's yours. What would you say? Some of us settle for a new car or a house or maybe a job or something else. What would you say? You know, he tacted those people and he tacted Christ himself. Then Satan used humans. He used humans to go after the church or to try to destroy it. The church of God. In AD 31, the church of God started. Started under the original apostles. And they were taught personally by Jesus Christ. They was taught truth and pure doctrines. But you know, only a few years later, Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia. Let's read that once, what Paul says in Galatians. In Galatians 1, in verse 6, Paul writes here, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. In 10, Paul also writes, for do I now persuade men of God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. You know, I used to think I was pretty strong when I was younger. And some of you are, both with willpower and power itself. But Satan is more powerful, more cunning, more subtle than any human being that was ever on this earth. We need to be on guard. We need to be close to God in prayer, and learning his truth through Bible study. His righteousness. Satan keeps us stirred up, watching things and things going on. And you know what? Now Satan's after you and you and me. You and I. He wants us. I don't think that's how we want to be wanted. If you're at the top of the city, looking at the whole valley, you know, there's health issues, there's trials, there are all kinds of things. What's he going to use on you? Let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4. Excuse me. Are you there yet? My book is so not together here. I think it's torn out, though. Excuse me. Oh, I forgot. Mr. Rapp asked me, with all those things, if I brought my crackers, and he said he'd come up and help me eat them. Or, there he is. They're here. My snack. It is in here yet. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice when it's happened. That's always hard, but it tells us why here. To the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, because you're close to him, even Satan wants you, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceedingly joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, though, he is blasphemy, but on your part, he is glorified. So we're going to get these trials. He's after us. He's after all of us. Don't let Satan deceive you. Don't let him blind your eyes to God and to his truth. Some will say, Satan can't influence me. I'm stronger, I'm firm in my belief, and I'm righteous, more righteous than Satan. Look at what he does. Satan never could deceive me. But Satan, he's used and led humans throughout time, sometimes without them even knowing it. Not even suspecting it. Satan's led humans. How righteous are you? How righteous am I? Are we going and growing in godly righteousness? So, what's God tell us to do? First off, we have to get rid of some of the distractions. Let's turn to Hebrews 10, 19. Hebrews 10, verse 19. First, Hebrews 10 and then 19. It says, therefore, brother of Christ, your brethren, having boldness to enter the holies by the blood of Christ. You can walk in and talk to God. Get right in there. Have you ever thought, meditated, if you will, about going to God the Father's throne? And you walk in there and you see him. You don't know what he looks like, but you know it's him. And you see Christ sitting on his right hand, and you're right there. And you see all the jewels and all the beauty that's there. And the 24 elders all about. And just before you go in, it's like after services, everybody's talking, something's going on, just a beehive of activity. And you walk in, and it's silence. Because one of God's children, an infant in Christ, has walked into the throne room to God. Like when the little children was coming to Christ, he said, let them come. Let them come to me. We're babes in Christ, and we walk into his throne room. It says, or we feel, we can go right to the Father. We can say, Dad, I need help. What do I do about this? If you want to, you could probably crawl right up on his lap and feel love. Have you ever thought about that? Let's go on in verse 20. It says, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that he, that is his flesh, the veil in the temple. It allows us his blood to go into the throne room. In 21, having a high priest over the house of God. High priest, Christ sitting there. He's our high priest. You know, Christ has his job to do. He has to take care of us and the church. Well, me, us. All I have to worry about, mostly, is myself. And to become righteous. And to walk with God. In 22... he says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. A true heart in faith. True to God and his ways and what he wants us to do. In 23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises is faithful. Hold fast. He promises. He promises the kingdom will come and will be there. And 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Love one another. Serve others. Good works, good deeds. Oh, shame on him. Shame on her. No, no, no. Good works, good deeds is what God wants. And 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Assembling together as we are here today. The day is approaching, he says. The end of the age. The kingdom's coming. You know, things are going to be a lot worse than they are today. At a feast, I heard someone say, you'll remember back, these are the good old days. That's what we're living now, the good old days. And over here in verse 35, if you will, it says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. We need to have confidence in God, in God's way, and it's the way to go and the way to do things. In 36, for you have need to endure, for endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Endurance. Hang on. Keep going God's way. Just a little further. If you fall, get up. I seen it on the news. I don't know what country, where it was. This woman, young girl, was running. Maybe you've seen it. And she was out ahead, and I don't know how far, but probably the finish line was halfway to the wall. And she fell down, and she couldn't get up. And they kept passing her, and passing her, and passing her. And she rolled over, and she crawled, and she crawled. She kept crawling till she was across that finish line. Are you going to cross that finish line? I have a lot of things here. I have a question for myself as well as you. Do we have vision? Are we focused? Focus on where we want to go and what we want to do. Are we living it with a passion? Do we really, really want it? Or it's just like, oh, it's going to happen. All I got to do is show up. Yeah, I don't think so. You have to have a love for the kingdom, and a love for righteousness. Are you striving for excellence? Are you running the race with your heart to win the race? Don't be satisfied where you're at. Strive, strive for protection, protection for perfection and righteousness, and God will give us protection. These words here, we need to live it, we need to love it, don't just read it, live it. Feel it in our hearts. We need to renew our love for God. And if we do this, how different? How different will this whole room? How different will I? How different will we be? Say, just a year from now. Trust God and His righteousness. He will help us. He will help us if we stay close to Him. And if we walk with Him. The kingdom is coming. And it's coming with righteousness. Be there.